Turn to the Word of God to Proverbs 9. Proverbs chapter 9. We'll consider the whole chapter this afternoon. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I've mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house, on a seat by the highest places of the city, to call those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Do you ever receive two wedding invitations? For the same wedding, or not same wedding, rather, the same day, the same time, and perhaps two different places. There's just, you look at these two invitations, and you can't go to both. There's no way you're going to both. You've got to choose one. How do you make that choice? Perhaps some of you look at how well you know the person, what the relation is. Maybe you're going to go to the person we feel more obligated to. Maybe you look at what food's going to be there and you decide, well, that seems like a better meal. I'm going to go that one. However, you've got to make a choice. You can't choose both. You need to choose one. If you're not doing it online, you get a little card. I don't know if you still do this, but back in the day, you get a little card and you got to check. Coming, not coming. You pop it in the envelope and send it off. You've got to make a choice. You can't just ignore it. You could, you shouldn't, but you really can't. And as we're going to see, to not make a choice is indeed to make a choice. This afternoon, we come to a passage where you face such a choice. You are given two invitations. There are two invitations to dinner, two invitations to a home to come and dine. You can't ignore them. Neither can you choose both. You choose one or you choose the other. You can't choose both. You can't ignore. You are making a choice. We come to this chapter in the book of Proverbs, after this final chapter of the whole introduction to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1 through 9 set up Proverbs 10 through 31. They're the introduction. In Proverbs 1 to 8, over and over again, and in different ways and in different illustrations, we've heard the call to come to the Lord and to be wise, to forsake foolishness, to forsake the ways of the world and to choose the ways of the Lord. Beginning right there in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. And from there, flowing out with true faith in God, filling out our understanding of wisdom and knowledge. And then as we come to the proverbial sayings of chapters 10 to 31, we've been set up with the knowledge. We're choosing wisdom. We can actually take and profit from the sayings that come in the rest of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 8. So we spent our 3 weeks in Proverbs 8 hearing the call of Christ. This is not just a secular call to wisdom and knowledge. This is the call of God. This is the call of Christ. Proverbs 8, calling all to come, all who would be made wise to come. Now in Proverbs 9, we hear him again, This time the invitation, it's the final invitation to be made wise. An invitation to come and feast on what he has to offer you, on what wisdom has to offer you. In contrast to another invitation that comes from foolishness, comes from Lady Folly, who also wants you to come, who also wants you to come and enjoy whatever she is offering you. Both wisdom and folly are tugging at your heart, are calling you to come, are seeking to have you come, and you need to make a choice towards wisdom or foolishness, good or evil, life or death. The stakes are higher than they'll ever be. What is the choice that you are going to make? Wisdom and foolishness have built their homes, and each one is sending their final invitation to dine with them. What will be your RSVP? Wisdom and foolishness are calling you. What are you going to RSVP? We're going to consider this chapter in verses 1 to 12. Lady Wisdom invites you to a sumptuous spread. And then verses 13 to 18, Lady Folly invites you to a stolen supper. Lady Wisdom invites you to a sumptuous spread, and Lady Folly invites you to a stolen supper. We're going to spend most of our time in verses 1 to 12 as we consider the invitation of Lady Wisdom, the call of wisdom, the call, again, the personification of wisdom. It's portrayed for us in the form of this lady, Lady Wisdom. It's really the call, as we've seen in Proverbs 8, it's the call of Christ. But here we have Lady Wisdom who's built her house. She's prepared something for you. She's not inviting you to nothing. She's built her house. She's hewn out her seven pillars. Here she's pictured as this builder who's built what appears to be a well-constructed home. What it means by seven pillars is not, we're not told the exactly what that means. It's seven is the number of perfection in scriptures, and so that perhaps has some bearing on it. But either way, it seems like it's quite the house. It's quite the building. It's well constructed, and it's ready for people to come. I was thinking and pondering this, thinking as we transition from the introduction of Proverbs to the sayings in chapters 10 to 32. Perhaps we have here the house being what we've all built up, the foundation, the structure that we've built to understand the book of Proverbs in Proverbs chapters 1 through 9, and now the meal is being laid out before you. Now you can come and actually enjoy and understand and put to use all that follows, chapters 10 to 32 being the meal that she offers. Certainly, I hope that after spending the time we've spent in Proverbs 1 to 9, that you have grown in your understanding of the structure of Proverbs and your understanding of it as you come to read this in your own devotions, that you kind of see where Proverbs 1 to 9 fit in and how to read the book. Hopefully that will develop as we dig into the rest of the book in the coming weeks. But the meal is prepared. She's slaughtered her meat. She's mixed her wine. She's set the table. She's provided everything that you need. She's provided everything that you need, and now And everything that she knows is good for you, that which will nourish you, the pitcher of food to nourish the body, representing the wisdom that will nourish the soul, God's wisdom that will provide you with what you need to live and to live well. Place is prepared, just as God has prepared the way for you. God has set out and revealed himself to you. You hear of this meal being set out and then the invitation that's going to come, certainly is going to bring you, isn't it, to the New Testament, to the parables of Christ. As he speaks of coming of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven coming and being prepared, and invitations are going out and being rejected. Think of Luke 14, verse 16 to 17. He said then, Jesus said, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses, began to reject the invitation, began to say no. Now, Christ in the Gospel is also pointing out how God's people, those who he had covenanted with, had were rejecting him, were saying no to him. Jesus Christ was entering into the world, and people were saying, no, I'm not interested. And the gospel is going to go further, and those who are seen as unworthy were the ones being called in, being brought in. Here, Jesus has prepared a meal for you. He's prepared. He's calling you to come and dine. He gives you everything, everything that you need. The invitation comes. She is in verses 3-6. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I've mixed, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. She sends out her maidservants. She sent out her servants to go and to find those, to spread the message, to give out the invitation. It's not the select few that get invited to this wedding or that wedding, those who are good friends and those who are known, who are family. But this is an invitation that goes out to all. This is the invitation that came from the prophets to God's people to come. This is the invitation that went out from the apostles. This is the invitation that comes out from God's servants, from the ministry of the word. This is the invitation that goes out from your mouth to those you invite to come. Come, meet with my Savior. Come and receive from him what you need for life. We come not at our own authority, we're sent. We're sent out, each in our own position and place under the authority of Christ, to come and make this call. And here, interestingly, not only has she sent out her maidens, but she herself goes out. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Christ not only sends out servants, he sends out himself. He comes. He came. He entered into this world, taking on a human nature. And he comes and he called. He would go and he preached and he called people into the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Come. And he dined with many. Literally dining with many, sharing the good news of the gospel. It drove those who wouldn't eat with him crazy, because they didn't think that anyone else should. These sinners, how dare he eat with sinners? But he comes and he's calling out to the simple, to the foolish, to those who needed him. And he continues to come. For when the word of God comes through any one of his people to someone else, and when it came into your heart, or it comes into someone else's heart, and it's heard, truly heard and believed, that is Christ speaking into your heart by the Holy Spirit. That word is being effectually blessed and used. His call comes. His irresistible call to come and believe in him. He still calls. And he calls all to come. The call to come and be wise, as we saw in Proverbs 8, is for all who hear it. The simple, who are naive, who don't know where they're going or why they're going there, and those who lack understanding, those who are lost, wandering, not able to save themselves, but needing a Savior. Us, by nature, needing to hear the call. Hearing, needing to come to be made wise unto salvation. Wisdom goes out, her maidservants go out, and what is the message that they go out with? Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. That's the invitation that's on the card that's arriving. People get a message. Here it is. Come. You're hungry. You're thirsty. I'm not inviting you to take something that isn't yours, because I'm giving it to you. I've bought it. I've purchased it. I've prepared it. I set it out. Now I call you to come and dine. It's the call of Christ. That was from Isaiah 55. And in the New Covenant, we have Christ in this world in his ministry calling out. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the whole world. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I will provide everything you need. He said that to the woman at the well. I'll give you, you'll never have to, you'll have water. I'll give you living water. And she's like, this is great. Then I don't have to come and dip my pot down in the well and take water home anymore. He's not talking about quenching your physical thirst. He's talking about your spiritual thirst. He's talking about everything that you have, your deepest needs. He provides. You don't need to prepare yourself to come. You don't need to bring a crock pot of your own righteousness to the meal, just in case maybe there's not enough. You know, better be safe than sorry. You don't even have to bring a spoonful of anything else. You come to him. He calls you to come. He provides everything. There are three commands that come in verse 6. Forsake foolishness. That is, turn, repent, put away your sin, and live. The second command, live, come to me for life. Put away foolishness, forsake foolishness in order that you may live. And then go in the way of understanding. Repent, live, and walk in the right, straight, and true way. That's the call. And the thing is, he's not calling you to do this and then show up at his door. He's not saying, check these boxes and then come knock on the door and I'll give you something to eat. He's saying, come to me and I'll give you everything you need to keep those very commands. That's the gospel. The gospel is not put away your sin and come to Jesus. The gospel is come to Jesus with your sin and he'll equip you and enable you to put it all away. That's the gospel message. You come to the one who invites. You need Jesus first, and he'll enable you to keep this command, to forsake foolishness, to live, and to walk in the right way. What is your RSVP? You can't ignore this invitation. You can't ignore this invitation. And that comes to us, the RSVP comes to us in verses 7 to 12. There are two responses that you can give to a wedding invite. I'm coming. Or I'm not. And if you forget to send in your response, you're sending a response. I'm not coming, and I couldn't be bothered to tell you. Now, if you say no to going to a wedding, depending on whose it is, there's typically a minimal cost to that. There's a minimal problem, minimal consequences to that kind of decision. You can't make it. Someone's getting married in Jamaica, and you know, I'm going to say no to that. You're probably not going to lose a friendship over that. But if you say no to wisdom, it comes at the greatest of costs. It comes at the cost of your own soul. You cannot say no. You must not say no to wisdom. And what is presented here in verses 7 to 9 are really two responses of the simple. Two responses of the person who's being invited. She's inviting whoever is simple and those who lack understanding. Now, these two responses, don't make this mistake of thinking the simple person is somehow a neutral party until they hear the gospel. We are all in rebellion against Jesus Christ. Even if we've never heard the gospel before in our lives, we still are in rebellion against the Creator who made us and who we know is. Paul tells us that very clearly. The scriptures tell us that in various places, but in thinking of Paul in Romans 1, that we know our Creator, whether we've ever heard of Jesus Christ or not. The simple person is not neutral, but they are ignorant. And we live in a world, in our own community, in our own province, where we sometimes forget the ignorance that's out there. And I don't mean that in some pejorative way of thinking we're so much better, look how smart we are. What I mean is that there's certainly a lack of knowledge and understanding about the gospel. We live in a post-Christian world, and this may not be downtown San Francisco. I get it. This may not be downtown San Francisco, but there's still very much a lack of knowledge. This came, you know, I grew up in a fairly sheltered, in the sense that I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church. I grew up around Christians. And to me, everybody at least knew something about the Bible. And I grew up in a community, in a town that was fairly Christian influenced and saturated. Then I got a job in another town or another city not that far away. And this was 20 years ago. And I remember having this conversation with one of my coworkers, and I was just shocked me that somebody had never heard of Noah's Ark, never heard the name Abraham beyond the name of someone else. But they never had, it wasn't just that they didn't know about it or didn't know what it meant or didn't believe it, it's that they had never heard of it. It shocked me. In some ways, we might still get shocked that way, but we need not to be, because this is the kind of world we live in. There are many simple, lacking understanding, and all that we know is by grace. All that we know is by grace. Don't be surprised to hear that, but as you bring this invitation, as the invitation of the gospel goes out, there's going to be a response. As you confront that ignorance, not in a harsh way, but as you bring an invitation to come and hear Jesus Christ and believe in him, there's going to be a response. We need to expect that response. And the one response that Lady Wisdom explains here is the response of rejection. Those who hear and refuse to believe. Now, the person presented here is the scoffer. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. He who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. A scoffer is one who hears the invitation, who hears something of his need and rejects it, and openly rejects it, and mocks it, and is arrogant in his response, and not only thinks he's not only is he arrogant, but he actually thinks you're arrogant, because how dare you think I need anything, and how dare you think that I need this Jesus that you tell me about? There's no fear of the Lord in them at all. These are some of the responses we will get. Now, we need to be careful. We don't say, well, then I'm not going to share the gospel with anybody. We need not fear. We don't live out of fear. We ought not, though I know we struggle with that. But we come to Christ for the strength to be faithful in still not worrying about the response, but being faithful to Christ. He knows, he sees, he himself has been rejected. And in fact, when our invitation to the gospel is rejected, it's not so much a rejection of us as it is of Christ. And he comforts his people. But we do need to be wise. And this passage does say this, that when we present the gospel to someone and they reject it, scoffing, mocking, laughing, not wanting anything to do with it, and being, that we need to be careful. As it says here, do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you, lest he respond harshly, lest he takes the pearls and tramples them in the mud. This is, I think, an application of what Jesus talks about. Don't cast your pearls before swine. But those who will not, who are obstinate in rejecting the gospel, don't deserve to continue to have the gospel continually presented to them. And I don't mean this because we look at them and say, well, we're better than you, so we're not going to tell you this. But we need to present the gospel to those who are willing and wanting to learn and know more. And this is hard. We need to pray that we'd be able to discern between the ignorant and the arrogant. Because some are not going to just, we share the gospel. They're not going to be like, yes, immediately I'm coming to Jesus. There's going to be time. There's perhaps questions. There's learning. There's complacency. And there's continued opportunity. But those who harshly, arrogantly reject the gospel, we need to be careful about continuing to bring that gospel before them. We continue to pray for them and seek for humility in their heart. And there's no comfort, by the way, in this. This is an example of a harsh rejection. The scoffer, the mocker. There's no comfort in politely rejecting the gospel. There's no comfort for you or for anyone else to politely say, well, we have a lot of this in our society. People are, well, that's nice for you. I'm glad you believe that. I'll believe what I believe. You believe what you believe, and we'll just all be happy. There's a lot of complacency. There's no comfort in that ultimately, because rejection is still rejection. And rejection of the gospel, as people come to hear the gospel and know the gospel, and the more they reject it, will deteriorate and become harsher. And certainly, hell is full of people who are angry, violently angry against the Lord, and reject him for eternity. They're not passive. The response that needs to come is for whoever hears this message, you this afternoon, anyone we bring this to come to Jesus Christ, to receive the invitation and come to wisdom and pray for our own courage and our own wisdom in sharing this gospel and bringing this invitation. There's the second response, which is the response, quite a contrast, the response of acceptance. Yes, I will come. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Those who hear the word of God from your mouth, or from the mouth of any who bring it to them, and believe it and receive it by the Holy Spirit working it in their hearts, who say, yes, I want to come, they're drawn by the Spirit of God, they're made wise by the Spirit of God, are those who are going to love it, who are going to want to receive that invitation over and over and over again, are going to want to keep coming to grow and learn more and more. This is one who receives the invitation with great joy and love for the God who invites him and for the servant of God who brings that invitation and accepts it with joy. The one who studies the book of Proverbs, you and me who study the book of Proverbs so that we would be instructed, that we would be knowing more and more, that we wouldn't get angry because it convicts us, that we wouldn't be opposed to it because it's not what I want to hear, but that it would say, yes, thank you, Lord, for teaching me and showing me maybe where I've been foolish so I can grow in wisdom and understanding, that we are eager for more. And see, this is the encouragement as we go out and we invite people for the sake of the gospel, because Christ calls us to do this. And he gives, and we go in confidence that God will work because he has those who he's calling, who he's going to make wise, who are going to respond positively and well and want to come. They need to hear this invitation, and he sends us to bring it. And he comes himself by his Spirit to make it effectual in their hearts. And this is a word not just for the unbeliever out there, not just for the one who is still simple, needing to hear this gospel message, but it's for you and me too, to receive this invite, to come to the house of wisdom and to dine and to come and meet with Christ and to dwell there, really, to move in, to make it our home. He's not going to kick us out. Come and feast and be made wiser. It's so surprising then as we come to this closing chapter of this introduction to Proverbs that we have, as it were, a reference back to the opening chapter in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's like some difference, but right there, that main statement, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the central pillar to all the wisdom. Those who are wise, or truly wise, are those who truly fear the Lord, have faith in God, are trusting Him, believing Him, and desire to serve Him. It's the central pillar of the house. It's the main ingredient of the meal. The one who is wise will start there and want to know more and more and more. We begin with God and Jesus Christ. We continue with God and Jesus Christ to learn from him. And as we do, as we who have been made wise by Christ continue to seek from him and take this invitation and dine with him, we receive all the blessings that come that are added to this. For by me your days will be multiplied and the years of life will be added to you. You'll receive the blessing of life, of eternal life in Jesus Christ, not death. Life, not death, which we're going to come to from Lady Folly. And it will bring great profit to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. God does not invite you to come to him to profit himself. We cannot profit God. We cannot bring profit to God. He is God. He needs nothing outside of himself. He doesn't need us. We don't bring profit to him. He reveals himself to you and me for our own good, for us. Now, yes, you're coming and being made wise is going to bless all kinds of people around you and your family and beyond. But you will receive the ultimate blessing. You receive the ultimate blessing of being made wise by God. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And the contrast is if you scoff and reject and mock, you will bear those consequences as well. The choice of how you RSVP, the choice you make by faith, by grace, but the choice you make has consequences. If you choose by faith, by grace to RSVP, yes. Or if you outwardly, openly, or in any way reject the message, you will reap what you sow, Paul writes to the Galatians. In Galatians chapter 6, it's Romans. Galatians chapter 6, where he says, those who sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and those who sow to the Spirit of the Spirit reap eternal life. You will reap what you sow, he says. And so here, the choice you make will have consequences. What will you RSVP? If you would be wise and know Christ and live for him, you RSVP, yes. I will come to your place. I will eat of your food. It will glorify God, it will bless man, but you will receive the greatest blessing. Wisdom and foolishness have built their homes, and each is sending their final invitation to dine with them. What is your RSVP? Wisdom has built a home and invites. This is the call of Christ to come to him. But there's another invite that comes. It's a contrasting invite, and you need to choose one. You only choose one, and you need to make the choice. Lady Wisdom invites you to a sumptuous supper, but Lady Folly comes with an invitation as well. But hers is to a stolen supper. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Lady Folly, he talks about a foolish woman. I think it is in keeping with the picture of the beginning of the chapter. This is Lady Folly. We've met her in chapter 7 before. She is a clamorous woman who wanders around like a roaring lion seeking whom she may devour. She is one who says here she's clamorous. That means she's loud, she's obstinate, she's in your face. She wants you to come and she won't take no for an answer. But she's one who has nothing to offer you. She has no knowledge. She has no wisdom. She's simple and lacking in understanding. She certainly has no fear of the Lord, and neither do you need to have the fear of the Lord to follow her. She herself has a home, though it's nothing much to write about, and she has found her seat right near Lady Wisdom. She's also in the highest place of the city. She's found a seat. She's sitting there, and she's calling. She's found a prominent place to call. The English writer from the 18th century, Daniel Defoe wrote, "Wherever God erects a house of prayer, the devil surely builds a chapel there, and it is found upon examination. The latter has the larger congregation." The devil calls, and many listen. Many listen. This Lady Folly is a permanent fixture by the gates of the city in the highest place where she will call. You hear her every day. You see her every day. She calls you and entices you every day. In fact, she doesn't just call the foolish, we'll get there, but she calls those who go straight on their way. Literally, those who are walking straight and right, those who are walking on the right path, who have been taught well, who have been taught the right way to walk, who have been told the right way to go, but she's still calling and trying to pull them away. You don't, though you grow up in the church, though you're in the church, you don't get to relax. You don't get to say, oh, that's for someone else. I'm wise. I don't need to worry about that. You do need to guard your heart, lest she pull you into her house. Don't be fooled. She also calls the simple. She's competing with Lady Wisdom for the simple. Come dine with me. See, the Lady Wisdom has a good meal to offer. The meat and the wine and the good, solid nourishment for the soul. But what does Folly have to offer? Stolen water. She claims as sweet bread eaten in secret. She claims as pleasant. All that Lady Folly has to offer you is stolen. It has no attraction in itself. There's no substance to it. The attraction of what this world offers you is that there's an excitement to eating and drinking something that you're not supposed to. There's an excitement and indulgence in that which is forbidden, that which is taboo, that which you're not supposed to have, the stolen water and the bread that's eaten in secret. Our hearts are wicked in that we like to indulge in things that we're not supposed to. There's an attractiveness. Augustine writes in the Confessions that once he stole pears, not because he wanted to steal pears, but because he liked to steal. He liked the thrill of the act. In fact, he says he threw his pears, most of the pears, away. But he did it because there was something about breaking the law that just, there was an excitement to it. And he's not the only one. But all Lady Folly can offer you is cheap and twisted imitations of the real thing. Not a real meal, but the stolen water, bread eaten in secret. And we've seen this in the Proverbs already. When it comes to things, like previous illustrations, like sex. She takes something good from the Creator, takes something good that God has given and twists it and manipulates it and makes it horrific and offers that to you and says, come, I'll give you something you'll really like. It's a cheap and twisted imitation. And she calls you to dine with her. In reality, she calls you to die with her. Because you go The one who goes, he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. The guests are literally the called ones, the ones she's called, the ones who received her invitation and came. The ones who RSVP'd yes and said yes to their own death. If you're in her house at all, get out. Run for your life. She's hidden the darkness from you. You know, you go into I'm not suggesting you do this, but if you go into a casino, you look at how they keep people in. And one of the ways they keep you in is there are no windows and there's no clock. You don't know what time it is. You don't know how long you've been there, and you stay there until you're broke. She's not about to shine the light on what's going on. She's not about to tell you what's happening. But God is coming to you this afternoon, and he's saying, he's shedding light upon it all. He's pulling open the curtains. And he's saying, this is what is your end. Look at the bodies everywhere. The death that is in this house, run for your life. Run to Lady Wisdom. Run to Christ and be rescued from death. Wisdom and foolishness have built their homes, and each one is sending their final invitation for you to dine with them. What is your RSVP going to be? Are you wanting the wisdom of God, or are you going to try and look for something that's not true wisdom but promises things that entice the heart? Are you in Jesus Christ this afternoon? Then give thanks. Then you're well prepared by God, and you're being prepared by God for what's coming in the rest of the book of Proverbs. So you can read this and drink in this wisdom, and you can trust that God will continue to lead you in the way of truth. He's given you the fear of himself. The fear of the Lord is in your heart, and he's now able to teach you and instruct you. Pray for continued understanding. Pray and look forward to the study. Look forward to feasting on what wisdom has to offer. And eat and dine. Take full advantage of everything God provides to you. Make your home with her. Enjoy the fruits of life in Jesus Christ. And again, if you're tempted by folly, flee. Flee. There is safety and there is strength in Jesus Christ to keep you from folly, to strengthen you in himself. Your heart, our hearts in different ways are still attracted to the call of folly. You know in your own hearts, don't allow yourself to be tempted. Don't believe what she has to say, but remember the death that is in her house. May God in his mercy continue to rescue us from her, to continue to increase us in wisdom, and give us the grace to choose well, that we would say yes to Lady Wisdom. And absolutely not to Lady Folly. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for this wisdom. We pray for the fear of the Lord to be strong and well in our hearts. And from there, Lord, that we would grow and grow and grow in wisdom, ever wanting to learn more, ever thankful for the conviction of your word that shows us where we're foolish and teaches us how to be wise. That we'd be ever more wanting to love Jesus, to live with Jesus, to dine at what he offers us, and to drink what he gives. And that, Lord, any who are living in Lady Folly's house hearing this message, they would flee. You would save them and rescue them. And for those in Christ, Lord, who may still at times be attracted, those of us who are all at times still attracted to this world, we would see its cheapness, how it's a false imitation of reality, and Lord, how it leads to death, that we would see it, not believing any lies, not imagining it's okay just to stand in the doorway and just to stand in the hallway or maybe just to sit down for a little bit, but that we would flee and run and stay far away. Guide us and keep us in this week, Lord. As we hear the calls, may we respond to Christ and reject foolishness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.